It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
We'll punch you in the nose for 60 minutes with a relentless competitive attitude.
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Welcome to Thursday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. So glad you could join us for the next hour. I'm Paul Tatino. He is Super Bowl champion, part of Jeff Eagles. And we're going to be with you talking Giants football. We'll talk the schedule. We'll talk NFL news. We're going to have a whole lot of fun. So we're glad you could join the party. 973-667-1960 is our phone number. 973-667-1960. You can also go to Twitter if you're bashful about dialing us up on the phone, and go hashtag Giants Chat. We'll try to get to your comments and questions there as well. Don't forget, you can always find an archive of this show and our entire podcast network on the Giants mobile app, our podcast platforms everywhere, and at giants.com/podcasts. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Doing good, Paulie. Just looking at the schedule and getting a little excited about this thing. And so I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm very excited for a couple of reasons. Number one, the weather in the metropolitan area today is outstanding.
Except for the pollen falling. I know John's probably over there sneezing as we speak.
The Flonase is working, Jeff. It's
it
helping.
Is. Let me tell you something. Yes. That did wonders for CJ, my son.
So now I am popping pills, doing eye drops, and snorting Flonase. So it is like the trifecta of allergy relief.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
I do not. Yeah, I feel, man, I'll tell you what, it's bad.
No, but Jeff, I'll tell you, yesterday I went running for about half an hour in the afternoon after, you know, finishing work, and I was not, like, near death when I got back, so I thought that meant the Flonase was probably working okay.
It's nice to know that near death is your standard, John.
Yeah, well, he's...
This time of year, absolutely. Breathing's kind of important.
Good. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's just, and especially if it gets windy, that's when all this stuff needs to, it just gets out. It's crazy. It is nutso. But, well, good. I'm glad it's working for you, because I know you needed something.
All right. In the meantime, we do have some news that finally came out of the league office yesterday, as every team was given their schedules for the 2021 season. And, Jeff, I thought one of the things that we could start the show with as we entice people to give us a call, their thoughts, of course, on the schedule, what they liked, what they didn't like. Maybe it didn't matter to them. Maybe it's not a big deal. I don't know. Look, we still don't know exactly what the attendance regulations are going to be. Governor Murphy here in New Jersey has been very optimistic about the fact that there will be a healthy attendance, if not a complete attendance, this fall for NFL games. So we can all cross our fingers and hope that everything goes according to plan and that everybody is allowed back in the building. That's what we all want. Let's not kid ourselves. That's the goal. We just don't know if we're going to be able to get there. All right, in terms of the schedule, now one of the things I do every year, Jeff, and I know everybody likes to pick apart the schedule, and most of the time what you'll see from a lot of the media, they'll talk about matchups, they'll talk about players. You know, a lot of people are saying the Giants opened the season against the Denver Broncos. Oh, my God, they might have Aaron Rodgers. You know, to me, that's just too much speculation. It's a lot of premature speculation, because to talk about players when you don't even know what the rosters are going to be right now is just not worth a whole lot. So okay. What I try to do is to put myself in the coach's head, and I say, if I were the head coach of this football team, what are the things that I look for? What are the things that logistically make my life easier, make life easier for my football team, my players, my staff? What are the things that make life more difficult for our football team? That's the way I approach my schedule analysis, and I broke it down on Twitter. I put it up yesterday as soon as the schedule came out. I've already retweeted it this morning, and I also put out a poll asking fans if they were very happy with the schedule, if they were okay with it, if they didn't like it, and if they were indifferent. Now, the winner was it's okay, with over 450 responses. Nearly 52% said it was okay. 24% said very pleased. 20% said indifferent, and about 5% said they did not like it. So, first off, let me ask you, did you like the schedule, Jeff? And then second of all, I'm going to ask you to expand on how the players feel when the schedule is released, Do they care? Do they look at it? What do they want to see? What do they not want to see? Because I think that's a different angle. I think the fans have different wants from the schedule. The players have different wants from the schedule. And I know the coaches do, too. So I'd like to go through those things. But first off, what was your gut reaction when you saw it?
Well, I thought it was good. I thought it was a good release for the Giants. I figure, you know, one thing about the Giants we all know, the last four seasons, they've started 0-2. And so I feel like looking at this schedule that the Giants can squash that. I don't think that they will be opening up 0-2 this year. And, of course, you know, two of those 4 years, if you remember this, Paul, they were also 0-5. Mm-hmm. So I look at those, you know, if I go past the fifth game or up to the fifth game looking at them. But I think, you know, overall, I thought it was good. You know, listen, Denver and Washington, even though Washington won the division, they still didn't have a winning record last year. Atlanta was not a good team last year. The Saints are in a little bit of, you know, they're going to be without Drew Brees now. So, I mean, those first four, as we always like to call it, the first quarter of the season, and I'm not going to get into, you know, breaking it down as far as what the record's going to be, but I feel like those the first quarter of the season is a very favorable because the Giants have in the past have been, you know, right off the bat have had some tough goes the last 2, 3, 4 years with their schedule. So I'm looking at it that way, and that's what I look at as a player. I look at those and, well, of course, for me, I go down immediately and look at the late games and where they are indoors. Well, I don't see any. So let me see. Where is that? Yeah, there's I have no dome games other than Dallas. Okay, to Sunday.
Well, December 19th. New Orleans.
New Orleans is a that's early in the season though.
Right, and those are only two games inside.
Yeah, so that's for you know. So for me, I would be like, this isn't that good. But anyways, you know, from a perspective of winning and losing, I think the Giants did. I think this is a good deal. I really do. I think that you know. And then the one thing that bothers me, Paul, is that the schedule makers put the Giants on three primetime games, not one of them at home. So,
okay.
And by the way, two of them are against the teams that were in the Super Bowl last year. Mm-hmm. And one of them is Washington, which the Giants could maybe get that one because they have their, you know, they basically play well against the Washington football team. But those are the things that I looked at. I think that, you know, listen, I think that they can get off to a good start, and that's what you want. And with this Giants team coming up.
Now, I know when you played, Jeff, there wasn't a lot of hoopla about the schedule release. Now, of course, you get network television shows pumping this thing up. You get the drips and drabs that we saw yesterday morning to tease it. I mean, it's become like almost like a draft. It's ridiculous how they overhype it. But I guess what I'd like to ask you from a generic perspective, when you were playing, did your teammates talk about it much? Did they care about it much? Now, you're a punter. So I would assume that you had some different priorities when the schedule came out compared to maybe what some of your teammates may have been looking for.
I don't think anybody cares. They really don't. I mean, it's good water cooler talk, but, you know, what can you do about it, Paul? Nothing you can do about it. I think the big thing was that now you'll hear everybody talking about Denver. Denver, right? Because that's the first game of the regular season. That's the one that you're going to prepare for. And that's what all you hear about. But I think that the one thing that I would look at it as a player, and I think the other guys would too, is that when, especially as I got into the league later on and realized that when you start having family, you know, and kids and things like that, that the holidays can be a little bit of a disruption. And so I want to know where we're going to be in those November, December months and on the road for Thanksgiving. Are we on the road? Is there a Christmas Day? You know, the Giants are at Philadelphia Eagles, so that makes me – that means they're going to be on the road. They're going to be Christmas Day. They're going to be in a hotel in Philadelphia.
Right.
So those are the things that I would look at. But does it matter? No. And I know that you – the tweet that you put up, Paul – has a lot to do with disruptions and type of, you know, coming back from
logistics.
A long road trip and things like that.
Yeah, logistics.
And
because,
yeah.
Again, I try to take the coach's perspective because I know what those guys go through.
Mm-hmm.
The staffs have a lot of different things that they need to do in a set schedule, and we all know that the schedule of games can often disrupt their workflow schedule. And I know this from, you know, being on the road with the broadcast crew for the last dozen years. It's very obvious to me how some of these things do impact the preparation. and make it a little more difficult. Not that it can't be done. It just makes it more challenging sometimes. So let me, for those of you who didn't see it, let me go through some of these things, Jeff, and maybe you can expand on it just a touch. Now, first of all, I did put down some notes here. The Giants are 25-43-1 on Monday Night Football,
including
16-30-1 on the road. It has not been a kind time for them. And they're 4-5 on NFL Network's Thursday Night Football package, including 2-5 on the road. Those are just things that we know from following this team for a long time. It's just not been a good deal for them when they play in prime time. It's been a big problem.
Yeah, I agree. I think that those are just – I don't know why. I mean, some teams are better than others. And I can't put a finger on it, to be honest with you, Paul. I don't know why teams play better.
Goes back to Tom Coughlin's era, too.
It does. It does. I just don't get it. And I would be interested to see who the number one team is on primetime and Thursday nights, who leads the record, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who is that team? And then whoever it is, I don't know. Maybe somebody can let us know. But whoever that team is why. Why are they better? Why are they so good on Thursday nights or Monday night games? I have no clue. Because, you know, we know about Thursday night games. Nobody wants to play them. They're usually horrible games because there's not enough rest between Sunday and Thursday. And, by the way, there's a logistics problem for you. You know, the Giants play it Thursday night. So the coaching staff has their work cut out for them because that's a quick turnaround, you know, those Thursday night games. The only good thing about it is that you get 10 days off after it. And then they have a home game against the Falcons after that. So that'll be good for them.
Well, it just so happens, Jeff, that I do have the chart in front of me.
Okay. I knew somebody would pull it up. You were
well,
John.
Well, the Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots are both 8-2 on NFL Network's Thursday Night Football, which gives them an .800 winning percentage, and they are tied for the top spot.
Okay. And so can you have, I mean, anything there? I mean, other than the Patriots are really good.
The Patriots win a lot of games, period.
Yeah. And I think that they just do the thing.
And so does Seattle, actually, too.
Yeah,
I mean, so. No, Seattle's been habitually a playoff contender for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that you're talking about two franchises that have had the same head coach for a long time, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, if you want to look into it, yeah, that could be.
I mean, look, the third team is the Packers at 7-2, and Pittsburgh is fourth at 9-3. Well, the Steelers have had Mike Tomlin for a long time. I'm seeing not only quality teams, but also coaching continuity.
Okay.
Is there any coincidence? Maybe. Yeah. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, so we bring this up because the Giants do have three primetime games. Okay. All of them, as you said, are on the road. One Thursday night game at Washington, and the other two are at Kansas City and Tampa. So, yes, I saw that as a negative in that all three of them were on the road, but the fact that you only got three of them when we all know that teams are allowed to have five before the flexes come into play, I thought that was a positive, that it was only three, because the New York market, sometimes you can get more than that.
Of course. Yeah, so, and I think that, you know, the way that this season will go this year for the Giants, hopefully, that maybe they snibble in one more next year. You know, they get up to four because primetime is for a reason. People like to watch you.
No doubt.
And they want good teams on there.
Well, by the way, if I can chime in real quick here, guys, if you look at that last month of the year, there are a number of games that
potential
are ripe
flexes
for NBC to flex, Paul.
I know, John.
Absolutely. look at these markets. Miami, December 5th. Two games against Philly. Dallas, December 19th.
Chicago,
January
2nd. LA.
Dude, there are five games there that are just ripe for NBC to take. And remember, NBC, I'm trying to remember. Did NBC have a Giants-Cowboys games last year?
They did, right? First time since their package, they did not have it.
So let me tell you, if you don't think they're going to want to swallow up that Cowboys game at 1 o'clock on December 19th, if that's a game that's going to determine the division, you're crazy. And remember,
the October 10th
game against Dallas is already at 4:25, right? So Fox has their national Giants-Cowboys game already done. So keep an eye on that December 19th. That could be a flex situation right there very
easily.
I could see it.
We'll get to the phone lines in just a bit. Doug, I know you're on hold. We'll just go a couple of more comments here about the schedule. No more than two straight road games. I thought that was a plus, Jeff. Yep. On the other side to that, no more than two straight home games.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, on the flip side, the home games are great. You want as many as you can. You wish you could have 16 of them. But I also do, when I look at the schedule as a player, is where we're going to play, because that does make a difference. And I'm looking down here as far as loud, you know, and if you're a quarterback or a receiver, is it somebody that has –
Kansas City's a problem.
Kansas City's a problem. New Orleans is a problem. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tampa Bay can be a problem.
Well, you get a lot of Giants fans, though, Jeff. Every time we go on the road down to Florida, a lot of Giants fans are in the building.
The Buccaneers are the world champions. I mean, I think that
is true.
And I think that the other one is Chicago can be pretty tough, too, especially on a January 2nd game in Chicago. That's going to be nice and toasty warm.
Yeah, for sure. No international games.
Thank you.
Okay. Huge plus.
That was the first thing Dottino looked for. Let's be
honest. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Do you like those or you don't like those, Paul?
I'm very much against them myself.
Okay. All right.
The bye week in week 10 basically splits the schedule in half. Mm-hmm. Now, as players, do players like that?
Yes. Yes. You know, absolutely. Because I feel like it's a perfect break. Okay. And I don't know. Do they still do them in week 11? Most likely, probably. But, you know, for me, with the three preseason games and five regular season games, so right around the ninth week for me is perfect. You know, so 9, 10, somewhere in there. I remember them giving byes after like the third week, and though that was like ridiculously stupid in my opinion. Like, I know you had to do it, but I didn't like that, because now I know I have, you know, if it was after the third week, I've got what, 14 weeks left. Right. Of not having a break.
Well, that was simply because they needed to make the logistics and the math work for the schedule.
Yeah,
they weren't necessarily putting the bye that early because they thought teams needed it.
Well, exactly, but they did it. And so if you were one of those teams that got it, it really was not beneficial to me. Unless you had some injuries that you got at the beginning of the season that you were trying to milk the guys back and, you know, give it by a little bit of time that way. But I think the bye is a perfect time. Because now you're coming off the bye playing the world champions. Two weeks to prepare for Tom Brady.
All right. We've talked about the early part of the schedule, favorable. We talked about the turnaround with the logistics of the primetime games. The Giants are very fortunate that after each one of their primetime games, they're home for their next game, which is also a help, as you know. Mm-hmm. Looking at the latter part of the schedule, I think this, Jeff, and again, you can tell me from your experiences how much you want to weigh into this, but November 22nd at Tampa, December 5th at Miami, December 12th at the L.A. Chargers, three late-season road games in warm weather during what are usually colder and windy and can be some nasty weeks of the season down the stretch when players are nursing their bumps and their bruises, they're tired, they're worn out. I've always noticed that a warm weather game during that part of the season can actually energize and rejuvenate some guys. Have you seen much of that, or am I overestimating it?
I think it makes a difference a little bit. But, you know, guys get excited to go somewhere and play where it's warm. You know, and especially in those December and Novembers. I think the biggest thing, Paul, and yes, the guys get excited about that. And it can bring a little bit of energy. I mean, you know, it's a lot better walking into a stadium where the sun is shining and it's, you know, 65 degrees, 70 degrees, where, you know, if we were at home this weekend and we're getting a snowstorm and it's going to be 25 and snowing. I mean, that's no thank you. The other thing that I and you may have brought this up, but I think another thing that I look at as I got older was, let's just take, for instance, that Kansas City game at 8:15. Well, you guys that travel with the team know that when there's an 8:15 game, you know what time you're getting home the next day. Mm-hmm. So the Kansas City isn't too bad, but that Los Angeles game in December, that's a 4:05 start. I mean, that's going to be a late one. And then also the other game, Tampa is still, even though it's Florida, it's still 3 hours away, but it's going to be a late one, you know. So
at least that game, though, was on the East Coast.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. It's only like 3 hours away, but
exactly.
It's still
–
Hey,
yeah.
Guys, just a reminder to remember, for these late games, Joe Judge wasn't flying the team back until Monday morning.
That's true.
So that's a good thing.
We don't know exactly how
great point, John. And obviously that worked. I think that the guys really enjoyed that. And I know from a coaching perspective, the coaches liked it too, because they got to go right home after the game and go back to somewhat a comfortable situation and be able to work a little bit, you know, and do some work before they had to get on a plane. Because, you know, a lot of times, as you guys know, when traveling with the team, those the coaches, were, which normally the coaches sit up in first class, you can see them already working as soon as they get on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
You exactly. They got their little mini screens, and they're already watching the tape.
All right, Paul, by the way, I know you mentioned those three warm weather games on the road. The downside is you get back, those last four games all have a chance to be deathly cold weather games.
Well,
home
they do.
Dallas,
Dallas.
At
they
Philly.
Do.
Good luck at Chicago on January 2nd, by the way.
Good luck with that one.
And then home versus Washington to close out the year on January 8th. So you're going to go from three really good weather games to four, this could be a big problem, weather games to close out the year.
Exactly.
Well, you see, though, I looked at that as a plus because your final four games are all NFC games, which could have standings and playoff implications, not only in your division, but even for the wild card. You know, because Chicago, for all we know, could be in a wild card mix. And certainly an NFC game could affect your wild card standing. So I happen to think it's great to have four consecutive NFC games and three in the division to close out the season. And then obviously the rival Washington team at home to finish things off. I saw that as a huge plus.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's a plus or a minus, to be honest with you. I just think, just to note that those could be some inclement weather games there at the end of the year.
They could be. They
and
could
also
be.
To note, the schedule makers made it interesting by scheduling three out of the last four games division games, which is going to be awesome.
Well, I mean, that, to me, that's what you always want because you, in case things aren't going well early, you'd
so
like to be able to look
ahead. So you're saying there's a
chance.
That's what
well,
that is.
Well, exactly. You'd want to have that opportunity to make up ground in the home stretch. And then finally, the January 2nd game against Chicago. John mentioned the cold of that whole situation. Well, yeah, but the incentive there, not just to win a game, not just to win a game in the conference, which could affect the tiebreaker, but also the fact that you know you've got the Bears' first and third round picks next year. What more do you need to try to beat the Bears on January the 2nd? So I really thought that was a big plus, too. And so those were the things that I saw. Jeff, was there anything else that kind of tickled your fancy about the schedule?
No, I think we covered them pretty good. You know, I know that I was reading some of the things when the schedule got out. So I think that Las Vegas has Giants at seven total wins for those scoring at home. So remember, there's 17 games this year. So we'll see. I think that's a good number.
I love it because they're underestimating the Giants just like they underestimated the Knicks.
Well, you know what? The Giants, as you know, they play better when they're underestimated.
There you go.
They really do.
All right. Our phone number is 973-667-1960. Limited Giants season tickets are on sale now for the 2021 season. In addition to ticket savings, membership benefits include access to exclusive events, experiences, pre-sales, and more. You can lock in your seats starting at just $100. Call 888-NYG-1925 or visit giants.com/tickets for more information. And don't miss out on a chance to experience a premier hospitality experience watching Giants games and world-class concerts in 2021 as a Giants Suite partner. Limited full-season locations are available. Replace a deposit for individual games. Call 888-NYG-1925 or visit giants.com/suites for more information. And when we're talking about attendance in the building, hey, folks, let's get vaccinated. You can go to COVID-19.nj.gov/vaccine to register, and hopefully we will have full houses this fall when the Giants are able to get that schedule underway. We go to the phones, and Doug from Rochester, you're first on the program. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Paul and Jeff? And John, I know you're listening.
He's there.
When I get a hold of you and Lance, we're going to pretty much have the same conversation. I always get fired up talking to you guys. The Denver Broncos, okay, it would be nice to win a home opener, for one thing. That would be really nice. But that second game on a four-day rest at Washington, which most of the people have the Redskins to win the division, a few have Dallas, that game to me is going to be very crucial. If the Giants can go on 4 days rest, go into Washington, and defeat the Redskins, that's going to make a statement for the Giants. Now, that game right there is going to pretty much tell me what's going on with the Giants. If they can pull that one off, look out. And then they come back home against Atlanta, then they got to go on the road to New Orleans. Now, here's another test on the road with the Saints. They can go down there and pull that one off. It pretty much is letting me know what's going on with the Giants. So can you talk a little bit about that? And I got a couple of teams you guys talked about I wanted to talk about after this.
Jeff? Well, I think one good thing about the Washington football team, you know, on a short week, is that it's a division game and you know the team pretty well. So I think that's, from a preparation standpoint, I think the Giants and both the Washington football team, they both benefit from that, being in the division so quickly because they know them, you know. The New Orleans game, I think that's just by that time, I think that everybody will realize the team that New Orleans is without Drew Brees and what's going to happen down there. But I agree with you. If the Giants can pull two wins on the road and, you know, and get off to a really good start, then that's a good thing. But, you know, that first division game, the second game of the season, you know, you get a win in there. You want to win the division, right? That's what you want to do. And last year the Giants did pretty good in the division. So they have to build on that even more.
It's interesting that they don't have a home game within the division until the second part of the schedule when Philadelphia comes to town on November the 28th. Up until that point, you don't see an NFC East team at the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
And then you guys talked about down towards in December, the warm games. But if you look at Miami and you look at the Los Angeles Chargers, I'm not sure Miami went 10-6 and didn't make playoffs last year. I think that's what happened. And I live 60 miles east of Buffalo. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If Miami wins the NFC East, it won't surprise me. If the Los Angeles Chargers, they were a good team, they're going to get better. If they beat out Kansas City and win that division, a lot of people would be shocked, but I wouldn't be shocked the way the Chargers team is being put together. Everyone got some offensive linemen. They got receivers. They got a good defense. Now, these two teams, you're talking about warm weather. These teams, I think, is going to be playoff teams right here. And be fighting for the division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think the offense got a good day. That's going to be a good division. I think the Patriots will rebound a little bit. The Jets will still, you know, they're going to be not great, but we'll see what happens. Chargers, they got a quarterback. They've definitely got a quarterback, and as we all know, you need a quarterback to win football games in the National Football League. So that's a heck of a division there. The division that's going to be amazing to me is that NFC West division. Holy smokes. Look at that division, Paul. Are you kidding me? Oh, man, I tell you, that is going to be fun. That is going to be fun to watch.
Well, you know, it's all pre-programmed because of the divisional rotation. So you just never know. It's going to be potluck on a year-to-year basis which teams are actually better than others because the divisions are already pre-programmed. You know what division you're going to get.
Sure.
And if it happens to be a down year for that division, well,
good.
Then you're licking your chops.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we're not playing that division this year.
Well, it wasn't the case last year, though, when the NFC East went up against these basically tractor trailers every Sunday. Mm. And it became a mess.
Yes. Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why the NFC East had such a difficult time. Their schedule was nasty.
Yeah. Well, everybody loved to play the NFC East last year. That's for sure.
Anything else, Doug?
Nope, he's gone.
Oh, he's already gone. Okay. 973-667-1960 is our phone number here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Doug, thanks for calling. One of the things that I also wanted to mention this week, a little bit of news, I guess, is that the rookie minicamp is going to be held, and the rookies are coming in today. And then on Friday and Saturday, they'll be on the field as such with the coaches. Don't know how much they're going to be able to do. I think it's mostly going to be getting to know guys and giving them some instruction. They're not going to have full practices. They can't have those. In fact, we don't even know how many guys are going to be showing. And I think that to me is kind of rough, Jeff, because, you know, in the past, these rookie minicamps were loaded. I mean, you had this very lengthy roster of your draft picks, your undrafted rookie free agents, of which there were usually a bunch. Then
Tons.
There were a bunch of tryouts.
That's what they were. It was just tryouts.
Yeah, and practice squad guys and future reserve contract guys. Well, that's not the case right now. I mean, I think the other day The Jets had their rookie minicamp, and I think they only had like 24 players.
Well, they only had one quarterback.
Well, Zach Wilson.
That's it.
So yeah. I'm being totally honest with you folks. I don't really know how much there's going to be to see in these next couple of days when these guys actually get to the practice field. I don't know how much is there to be gained, certainly from an eyewitness perspective. Jeff, I know it was a long time ago since you were a rookie.
Well,
how did you feel about rookie minicamp?
Listen, I was so oblivious to everything. I didn't know what the heck. I mean, just they told me where to go and when to show up, and I did. You know, and I think that a lot of these guys, I think it's changed completely. But I think that you hit the nail on the head where these guys are coming in. This is, you know, every once in a while you hear that these, some guys did really good at the rookie minicamp and they're invited to training camp. That's what this is. And, of course, there's the OTAs in between that and they get to come to those. But this is just a big glorified get to know your draft picks, get to know your free agents, and then you get some of these smaller school guys that come in for a free agent that are signings for this minicamp, and then they're, you know, they try to make the roster to get into training camp. That's what this is, you know. And it's also just breaking in the new guys. A lot of protocol, a lot of like, this is what the NFL is going to be like. There'll be meetings where these guys are going over, you know, this is how you do things, and this is the way we do things, and this is how we do it. That's what you need. You know, the veterans understand, especially with Joe Judge being back this year, a second year, knowing the program, knowing the schedule, knowing how things work, it's a little easier for the veterans. Now, the new guys, it's always the same. It's always strange. It's different. So you got to have this minicamp, and that's why it's so important.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Corey from Phoenix is on line one. Hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good to talk to you.
Wanted to talk about my expectations for the team, but I have a quick question. Do you guys know at all if Eli Manning's Ring of Honor game is going to be this year and when?
No.
Well, first of all, I don't know that it's going to be this year. I haven't heard anybody tell me that. So if maybe you know something that I don't.
None of that has been announced yet.
Yeah. Right? I would imagine they would have to truly wait until they know that they're going to get a full house for that one, you know?
Okay.
That's
it wouldn't make a lot of sense, you know, to do something like that on a day when you can only, let's say, have half the people in the building.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, agree 100%.
So I think there's a lot to be determined. And by the way, all we know is that the Giants are playing three preseason games against the Jets, the Browns, and the Patriots. The Browns game in the middle of it is going to be on the road. We don't have the dates for those games yet either. And those games would be the first opportunities you'd have to see these free agents and rookies who I know people are really excited to see on the field.
Yeah. All right. So, anyways, my expectations for the team. Look, I mean, a lot of people are comparing the free agents free to, which at the beginning of the offseason and like literally like, I think a week before the Galladay signing, I was talking to my friend. I'm like, looking pretty disappointing. I really wanted us to be aggressive because the young guys on this roster showed a lot of progress, and I wanted us to be aggressive. I didn't think we were going to, and then obviously brought in a lot of high-priced free agents, and people were comparing it to 2016 and wondering if it could be long-term or not. And I think there's 10 times more young talent and upside on this roster now than there was in 2016 when we made those moves.
Agreed. And 100% agree with you.
Yeah, I'll agree with that too.
Yeah. And not to mention, I really like the draft. We got a great offer from the Bears. Well, I'm hoping, I know you said earlier, they could be competing for a wild card spot, which
you never know.
Probably is realistic, but I'm hoping they really suck so that we can get Derek Stingley or Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon in the draft next year. But yeah, really like how we got future assets, and Kadarius Toney is still a very good player. And I'm saying with that, 2016 we went 11-5, but I think we could get bare minimum 12 wins, 2 rounds into the playoffs. And we'll
I think a lot of people would sign up for that right now. That would be quite a jump from 6-10. But I don't think anybody would argue that would be quite a package if you wanted to sign the dotted line today. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate the phone call. Jeff, you know, one of the things that I hesitate to do, and I've even had people ask me on Twitter this morning about, well, what do you think the Giants' record's going to be now that you saw the schedule? Well, look, we already knew the teams they were going to play this fall because that was pre-programmed. So the schedule release yesterday did not do anything to impact my feelings that the Giants have enough talent on their roster and on their depth chart to be a playoff team. Now, having said that, I never predict a team's record until right before opening day when the 53-man roster is finalized, because too much can happen between now and then. Too many guys could go. Too many other guys could come. Too many injuries could happen. It's crazy for anybody to predict the one-loss record in the middle of May. Plus the fact you have no idea what the other team's rosters are going to look like in another 5 months either.
Yeah. Everybody's just, it's teased with it. It's media. People want to do it. And
they need to fill space. Understand that.
And it is difficult.
Just take it for what it is. It's worthless.
Yeah. I mean, listen, your franchise quarterback could go out in week one and, your next thing you know, he's just not winning any games. So it's very difficult. I think that if there's one thing I could say without going into specifics as far as wins and losses, this team will be better. They will play better. I think they have better personnel. They have better depth. So will that equate to more than 6 wins? I think that it should. You know, am I going to say they're going to have 10, 11, 12 wins? I can't say. But I will tell you that from what they've done in the offseason and the draft and, building this team from year one to year two, you certainly should win more than 6 games. And there's a lot of people in that building that are counting on that.
I would say this, Jeff. The 3 things that I don't know right now, and I think I have a pretty good grip on the rest of the depth chart based on the guys who are currently signed, and I like the depth chart very much, basically on both sides of the ball and on special teams. But the 3 things that I really don't know but I think are going to be positive: Daniel Jones' 3rd season in the league and his continued improvement, Saquon Barkley's comeback off of major knee surgery, and the continued internal improvement of the offensive line. Those are the 3 things that right now I'm optimistic about for them, I'm hopeful about for them, but I don't have a ton of certainty. Although I do feel, again, I'm on the positive side of the ledger, and that's why I think with everything else that they have that I feel very confident about, I believe this will be a playoff team.
Well, you also you feel a little bit good and kind of hope that with the 2 defensive pass rushers too coming back off of injuries, X-Man and Carter, that those guys can, come back and play. And that's going to be a heck of a competition at that position because you got a lot of them, right? We talked about this the other day. I'm excited about seeing those guys and that position group about really starting to get some pressure on the quarterback. And I think whether it's through scheme or it's actually through just raw talent with Aziz, I mean, I'm excited about that defensive end position and guys going after and getting some pressure on the QB, because I feel like the back end of the defense has been, put together to a point now where that should allow those guys to be successful. I really do. So, goes hand in hand, man. Those defensive backs, if they can keep locked down coverage on those guys, and that quarterback just holds the ball just a little bit longer, and then they got a chance for some sacks, big plays, strip sacks, fumbles, big hits. Let's go.
I think Fiegels is ready for the season.
I told John the other day, I love our draft coverage. I think that everybody does an outstanding job with it. But I was a little bit depressed. I was a little bit like, once we got done and everything was finished, and John and I agreed, it was like, you know, we work so hard on it, and we really get to know these players, and all of a sudden now it's like it just comes to a screeching halt, and now there's a little bit of a lull right now, and it's like, okay. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm not excited for rookie minicamp for two reasons. Number one, rookies don't excite me all that much. And two, I don't know this for a fact, if anybody's going to be able to watch these guys. You know, I doubt it. But, you know, to me, it's I'm getting excited about the team. And now that the schedule's coming out, we're getting closer, right? You know that when the schedule comes, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. I like the schedule. I think they did. The schedule makers did right this year with the Giants. I think they did a good job.
Yeah, it is in my opinion, based on all the logistical things we talked about before,
yeah,
it's the most favorable Giants schedule that they've probably had in a decade.
Yeah.
It's remarkable how difficult their schedule has been in years past. Warren Sharp, the analytics guy. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the
Your
analytics
favorite.
Guy.
Your favorite
I will
guy.
Tell you what, though.
Huh?
He did a strict statistical analysis based on the scheduling that's occurred over the past decade. And the Giants have absolutely been destroyed by the schedule makers based on mileage, the trips, when they occurred, the short weeks, the opponent's schedules in terms of Giants playing a team coming off a bye and the Giants were coming off of a short week. These are all those logistical things that coaches and GMs look at. Those are the actual measuring sticks that they're concerned with. And his statistical analysis, which did not involve any opinion, there was nothing subjective about it. It was pure fact. The Giants have gotten belted over the course of the last decade by the schedule makers based on those logistical factors. That's just the truth. That's not an opinion. It's the truth. Speaking of guys who like to tell the truth, even when it sometimes doesn't sound so good, Len from Columbia, Maryland is next on the program. Hello, Len.
That's a good one. What an introduction, Paul. Thank you.
Now live up to it.
Well, let me try to add to my reputation here with a couple of things. But Paul, I'll try to keep it on the right side, so you won't be so critical the next time I call. I agree with you, Guy. I mean, this is, to use Paul's word, a very favorable schedule, as favorable as we've had in quite a while. There's a lot of, you know, every week's an opportunity, but put it in capital letters, there are a lot of opportunities here to win some football games, and a bunch of them, as far as I'm concerned. So I feel good about that. Three things. You can't win them all unless you win the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my first key. Get a jump, 1-0 instead of 0-1. Everybody's feeling really good. And it seems like if you win that first week, man, you're alive into October. If you can get that first one. And we got that opportunity at home. And, boy, I hope the fans are allowed to get in the stadium. I'm looking forward to it. Second key for me, to me, the season starts in Tampa Bay. Eight games, starting with the Tampa Bay game. We got 15 days to get ready, coming off Philadelphia. And what I'm hoping for going into the Tampa Bay game is we're going to lose guys. I mean, guys are going to get hurt, but reasonably good health. If we can get reasonably good health at game 9, game 10, for those that last part of the season, for the push to the end, because let's face it, four of our division games are in those last 9. Three of them are at home. So I want good health going into Tampa Bay. I think we'll give them a good game. We gave them a good game when we were here, but I'm not concerned about a win or loss there. I just want to be healthy to be able to carry through those last 8 or 9 games. You know, I don't want to be wiped out at right tackle, wiped out at tight end with injuries, you know, one position, two positions getting...
Man, you are just a bunch of sunshine, aren't you, Len? I mean, look, any team that gets crippled by injuries during the first half of their schedule is going to have trouble limping through the rest of the deal.
Yeah.
You know that.
Unless they have good depth. I mean, it makes a difference. I mean, I know that's hard. I know it's hard to win games with your starters out.
Yeah.
But if you have good depth behind them, you at least give yourself a chance.
Well, if you know, Jeff, to me, I agree with you. If it's depth for a game or two, you know.
Yeah.
But if we get wiped out, well, we got to go to the second guy, because you know as well as I do, Paul, this, you know, we've been saying this over the years, you know, if the second guy was as good as the first guy, the second guy would be playing.
Yeah, yeah,
you
there's
know?
A reason.
So if it's a game or two, I agree with you. We seem to have – now, I'm a little worried about the depth along the offensive line, but that was not the purpose of this call, so I won't go there this time. But
we're not there yet. Though,
yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, still got a little ways to go. So.
Right, right. And the third thing, adding to my, you know, looking at the schedule, and you guys have alluded to this already – you know, we want to be 4-2 in the division when the season's over.
Yeah.
But, man, the opportunity is there. And we've got – this is as good a roster as – I don't want to say as I can remember, but this is a pretty darn good roster at this point. And I think if we can get a reasonable break on those injuries, I think our expectation is Saquon is back. He's going to be Saquon. We got Daniel coming into the third year. There really is reason to be excited. And, you know, to be just ready for the season. But, hey, we got a few months to go here, so we can't leave it in the locker room. Jeff, you know that, right?
Nope. Never
we got to be ready on that first weekend for Denver. But, hey, I'm feeling pretty good today. I know. I wish the draft had gone a little differently. But
don't
boy, free
spoil
agency
the call,
made
Len.
Free
you're doing
Len had to
so
get
well.
That in, though. He had to get it in, though. I'll tell you.
Yeah, I had to get it in, Paulie.
It's okay.
But listen, free agency made up for a lot of stuff. Listen, we got, Galladay is, I mean, this is.
He's going to be fun to watch.
This is a major league player.
Yeah. He is.
I mean, just major league, and Rudolph. I think Rudolph is going to make a tremendous difference.
Rudolph is one of those players where you don't have to worry about him much. He's just going to come in and day out and be consistent and steady, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know what kind of numbers you want to put on him for as far as receptions and touchdowns and things like that. But you got to remember, not only on the field, he also helps the room.
He helps
that tight end room too.
Yeah,
so.
You know what? I think he's looking forward to a change of scenery.
Of course.
And, you know, finish it out strongly, maybe a couple of years.
Yeah.
Help the team, you know, that kind of thing. It could put a cap on his career.
I agree. And one of the things that I've been told from somebody who has followed Rudolph's career very closely since he came into the league out of Notre Dame is that he not only does really well on third down, but he gets the clutch third downs, the key third downs, because he is so smart. He is such a good route runner. He understands what he sees. Great vision.
Oh.
Such a cerebral player.
Yeah.
He may not necessarily get the big yardage in terms of numbers, but he's going to get the important yardage.
Yeah.
And that's down in the red zone on a key third down that you just have to have.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, he's going to make some great catches that we're going to be talking about on Monday morning.
Sure.
I mean, he's got great hands. The ball finds his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And he just hangs on to it. You know, one of the things I remember about Rudolph, now it's not the same player. But early on in his career, maybe as far as 4 or 5 and year 6, really early in his career, he was really the first tight end that I remember flanking on the outside and would actually play the game outside the numbers. I mean, you know, the receiver would be inside him, and Rudolph would be like the wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't think the Giants will do much of that with
him. No, I don't think
honest.
So. But I don't think so either, Paul. But it was just that was my memory. And one other that sticks in my mind, and it was the Pro Bowl, Paul. It may have been Eli. I think Eli went 3 times. I think it was the second one. And when he was on the field with Rudolph, he just kept throwing the ball to Rudolph.
Where were you?
I mean, it just kept going. I have that memory. I don't I'd have to really verify that, but that was my memory. He just loved the idea of that guy being on the field with him.
And you know, let me appreciate the phone call, and we're going to let you go.
Yeah, okay, man. Yeah, let's
Thank
go, Giants.
You. Call
well,
again.
Let me add real quickly a little
go
bit.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You know, as a veteran, when you play in the league as long as I did or even, you know, Rudolph has, you know, once you get to that point in the league, 10 years, you know, it's you have something, you still have something to prove. And when you have a team like the Giants that come to you and really support you and you feel like you're wanted.
Hey, Charlie, what do you want to say today?
You are going to be able to come into a situation and really kind of say to yourself, listen, I want to go out with a bang. I want to go out with a winning trophy. I want to win a championship. I want to do well for my family financially, which, you know, obviously he has. And two, I want to prove everybody wrong that I still got it. And so a lot of times you get these veterans, a 10-year veteran has still got a little game in him. I think that's what you're going to see out of Kyle Rudolph. I think you're going to see a guy that's going to do what he's asked of, but he's going to want to ball out. He's going to want to have the ball in his hands. And as long as he can stay healthy as an aging veteran, I say, you know, once you get in your 30s, things can change quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems like a guy that can take care of his body and understands what his position is. And I think the biggest thing here, Paul, and you know this with other veterans, when they get to 10, 11, 12, they just want to be identified in what's my role, okay? And if I'm okay with the role, then I think they'll do well. You don't want to have a guy come in here that they tell him what his role is and he doesn't like it. So, and I think that was explained to him before he got here, and I think that's why he signed here. So,
well, I agree with everything.
And I don't know what
said.
Role that's going to be. Is it going to be his hand in the dirt more often than not? I don't know, you know, so.
Well, one thing I do know is that he does have very sticky hands.
I love
it. He will catch what's thrown to him. That's been obvious his whole career.
Well, as far as Giants fans go, at the tight end position, we would love somebody that does not drop the football.
All right, I wanted to go back before we get to the next call, Jeff, to the Warren Sharp data collection on the schedule. And I just wanted to clarify what I was talking about. Then we'll go to our next call.
Okay.
What he did was he charted over the last decade the following categories strictly by the numbers. This has nothing to do with opinion. This is strictly by the numbers. His following categories were opponent's days to prepare for your game, more or less rest than your opponent, short week road games, off of road games, Sunday night football or Monday night football, negated bye weeks, four games in 17 days when teams sometimes got scrunched by those off Sunday games.
I'm sorry, what's a negated bye week?
A negated bye week, I believe what that was is if your bye week, and I don't know what his definition is. I'm making an assumption here. Mm-hmm. I think negated bye week was you had your bye week and the other team didn't.
Okay.
Oh, no. You didn't have a bye week and they did. I don't know exactly what he meant by that. The Giants only had, according to him, two of them.
Two of that category.
The category of negated bye weeks, there was only two of them. They were 17th in the league. So that was actually one of their medium range categories. Where they got crushed, and overall, by the way, when he used all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these categories, what he came out with is that since 2011, the Giants have had the most difficult schedule in the National Football League.
Wow.
They ranked 32 among 32 teams, and where they got crushed was opponents' days to prepare. The Giants were minus 24.
Yeah, remember how many times we talked about this? How the Giants were always playing a team that was coming off their bye?
Exactly.
You know?
They also got crushed with more or less rest than their opponent. The Giants were minus 13, which was second worst in the league.
Okay, so before you had mentioned what they were number one at, I said, can I guess? My guess was going to be that statistic that you just said.
There you go.
And that was my guess, because I just remember, and you know, I'm one of the lucky ones that do not have to travel. You and John both do, and I just remember, you know, the rest. There was days when we were at the facility for Monday Big Blue Kickoff Live, and whether I was doing it with you or John, most of the time, On those long trips, you guys look like, you know, death warmed over coming into the building.
Right. So in three of these categories, the Giants were second worst in the league.
Yeah.
The one category I mentioned at the beginning, opponents' days to prepare, they were worst in the league. And when you extrapolate all six categories, the Giants, 32 out of 32 teams in terms of most difficult schedule over the last decade.
Wow.
And that's just a fact, okay? That's simply a fact.
Yeah, those are numbers. Those are not, you know, there's nothing.
It's data.
Else. Yeah, it's data.
It's not analysis. It's data.
Yeah, yeah.
So congratulations to Warren Sharp for bringing this to light in a factual basis, because it does seem like we've been talking about this for years, how the Giants have had to deal with very difficult scheduling situations. And that, of course, does not take into account anything else. It's strictly by the numbers.
Well, Paul, you are not a big analytics guy. Okay.
But this is straight data. This is not analysis.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it is kind of cool when you can have somebody come up with these types of data that just basically shows an analytic that you actually like, right?
That's true. That's true, because it's all facts.
Yeah.
It's all facts. We go back to the phones. Speaking of somebody who doesn't usually pay attention to the facts, Charlie from Portland, Maine. Hello.
Welcome to that introduction, Charlie.
Charlie's one of the more opinionated callers we've ever had on this program.
Charlie is an easy target. He really is.
Hey, negligated by. What I think that is like, say if you play a Thursday night game and then you're going right into your bye, that kind of
good one, Charlie. You know what? I think that makes a lot of sense. I did.
Yeah.
The Giants only had two of these in that category,
right.
So it wasn't that significant, and it certainly didn't help their ranking because they still finished last overall.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but anyway, that's what I think it is, but it might not be. But, hey, I'm looking at the schedule, and, you know, the first game we're going to be playing Aaron Rodgers in Denver. So
maybe
don't think that's not going to happen, because I think it definitely is going to happen. But I think it's good that our Thursday night game is the second week. You know, Thursday night games,
I agree.
If you're in the middle of the season or late in the season, you're all banged up, and then you're only got 3 days and you're going to play. And the other good thing is they're playing Washington. They don't have to travel far. You know, and they don't, you know what I'm saying? So I think they lucked out with this Thursday night game in the second week of the season. So I think that's
for once, Charlie, I am going to agree with you here. I like it. I agree. I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it out of the way. Nobody likes those Thursday night games. Get it out of the way. Second game of the season, done. Check the box, done.
I'm with both of you guys. And, Charlie, you actually had a second great point in what you just said, because
a
road Thursday night game in Washington where your travel is about as limited as it can be is a tremendous benefit. That's one of the pluses that I wrote on my analytics chart.
Yeah.
Or analysis chart, I should say.
No, you said it. Yeah, you did. You said analytics. You use analytics.
An analysis chart.
No, you said analytics. So therefore,
I know
you are
I said that.
Analytics.
I misspoke.
Tino is using analytics. Everybody heard it.
I misspoke. Cut that out of the archive, John. Go ahead, Charlie.
Tino loves analytics. Got it.
Headlines. Back page.
And the other thing that I saw was that when we play the Rams, where it's a lot of 1 o'clock games. You know, we got a lot of 1 o'clock games, which is good. So the Rams are coming from the West Coast. They're playing at 1 o'clock. So that sometimes can be beneficial for the home team on the East Coast. So that was pretty good, too, I thought. And the question I want to ask you, when we go to L.A., who are we coming back? Who do we play when we come back?
Panthers,
is it a home game
at home?
No.
Los Angeles, we're playing Dallas on the 19th
okay,
at home.
My bad. Wrong L.A. team. Sorry. Yeah, Dallas at home.
And that, by the way, here's the thing. Although it's the second meeting with Dallas that season, the first meeting is all the way back October 10th. So it's not like it's the same Dallas team. They could have some changes by then, but at least it's a division rival. You're not having to do a lot of extra homework against, let's say, somebody from a different division or the other conference.
Right. So that's beneficial, coming all the way from the West Coast, but at least you're playing a home
Charlie,
game.
You're using logic today. This is really a rare occurrence for you.
Hey, John, hang up on him now. That would make more sense before he says something stupid, and then we got to, you know, then he ruins the call.
Man, he's hitting a home run today. Charlie, this is an all-pro call for you.
Okay, Paul, I got a question for you and Jeff. So yeah? What two-game stretch is going to be the hardest for us, do you think, if you analyze it enough to know that yet?
Well,
we don't know injuries and stuff, but I mean,
well, that's the reason I don't like to make those kind of predictions, because now you're talking about players and matchups and injuries and stuff of that nature.
How about just logistics, just travel,
logistically, Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I think any of the West Coast is going to be a tough one. Okay, so that LA trip, it's going to be tough. And then you have Dallas the next week. That'll be a good one. That'll be a tough one. I think just because of travel, like you said, that'll be the toughest one.
Okay. And
again, that would be a lot worse if you weren't home the next week, mm-hmm. and if you weren't
right.
playing a divisional opponent. So it could be worse. It's not terrible.
Remember this a few years ago? Remember the Giants? It might have been, I don't know, it was last year or the year before. The Giants went on the road a long game and then came back and had a Thursday night game. Remember the schedule makers did that?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the hell that wound up being computed into Warren Sharp's chart.
Yeah.
That's the crap they had to deal with.
Just one more question. What is the team we're playing before we go to L.A.? What is that team?
The Dolphins.
Is it home, away? And that's away.
Yes.
That's that extra game, the 17th game that they added to the schedule.
Yeah. So that's a little tough, but at least it's on the East Coast. So that's not too
exactly.
bad. Hey, if you guys are going to get to go, or Paul, you're going to get to go to some sunshine. You're going to go to Miami in the winter.
Charlie, if the protocols allow us to go back on the road this year, my winter tan is going to be very happy.
There you go. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Charlie. Great phone call. Appreciate it.
It's about time. It's only been years that he's kind of had one of those phone calls.
Where's Lance today to hear this all-pro call from Charlie?
Well, that's probably why he had an all-pro call, because Lance wasn't on.
And you know Lance would have destroyed it. He's never going to succumb to the idea that Charlie ever has anything good to say. So,
are you saying Lance is stubborn, Jeff? No.
Just a little bit. Not much.
Really?
I love
can't tell.
I love all of you guys. I really do.
But we all have our flaws.
We all do. And, Jeff, as we kick it out of here, any closing thoughts before we say goodbye?
Yeah. This show always goes by too fast. I mean, geez. No, I don't. Other than nice ending call for Charlie once in his life. That'll send us off. That's good. Thank you, Charlie.
Again, folks, write down the number. We are here every weekday live from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Giants.com and the mobile app. 973-667-1960. Catch an archive of today's episode. It's part of the Giants Podcast Network on the Giants mobile app, podcast platforms everywhere, and at Giants.com/podcasts. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Paul Tatino. We'll see you next time.